He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always amazed by that passage. Please be seated. Jesus, what have you done for me lately? You only healed a few sick people. My goodness. He could do no mighty work there, but wow. Anyway, here we are. We have arrived at the third set of three spiritual gifts, the vocal gifts. And once again, we see our priest running through the streets on Palm Sunday with his palms there. And that's how we are supposed to run toward the spiritual gifts of God. Just get out there and go for it. So today, we're going to talk about the vocal gifts of the Spirit. And these are perhaps, in some ways, the most controversial, in some ways, the most well-known of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, we're just doing a survey here, so I really want you to try to get into these and figure them out for yourself. But remember, the gifts of the Spirit, we're looking at the list from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that these are grace gifts, free gifts given from God, and that we are to be charismatic. I keep putting that into your mind because that's the name of our church, the Charismatic Episcopal Church. We are supposed to be, we're committed to operating within these gifts. And it's in the very name of our church. And just as a little piece of trivia for you, we are the one and only denomination that has ever had the name Charismatic officially in its name. The one and only. Other denominations are charismatic by nature, but we're the only ones that proclaim it officially in our name. So there you go. The purpose of spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Remember, these gifts are for everybody, and especially as we talk about these vocal gifts today, this is really important, that it's not just for you, that the spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the whole church. And again, Derek Prince says, the great reason for having the baptism in the Holy Spirit is what it will do for the body of Christ, not how it makes you feel or what it does for you. So today we're going to talk about the vocal gifts, and of course, vocal, things that are said. We're going to talk about the different kinds of tongues. We're going to talk about the interpretation of tongues, and we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy. So again, three things that you probably know all about or just enough about to be dangerous, right? That's probably where we are more so in the Christian church today. Is everybody thinks they know a lot about these things, and the reality is we need to study and pray and be in God's Word and discern and all that kind of thing. So we're going to start with the gift of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues, languages being spoken. A tongue is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language not understood by the speaker. That's what a tongue is. That's the definition of speaking in a tongue, is that you are given the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language that you yourself do not understand. Okay? Now, my gift of being able to speak German and Spanish is not a gift of tongues, because I understand what I'm saying when I speak in German and Spanish. So it is a wonderful gift that God has given me, a talent that God's given me, and that I can use to glorify His name. But that is not a spiritual gift of tongues. Tongues is that ability to speak in a language that you don't understand. And there are two kinds of tongues. And here's where we really need to understand what's going on here. There are private tongues, a prayer language that one receives when they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're told that we are to go to God, the Abba Father, with groans and utterings that only the Spirit can understand. Okay? And then there are public tongues that are for the edification of the church, for public ministry in the assembly. So two kinds of tongues, private tongues and public tongues. Now think back to when we were talking about the spiritual gift of faith, you know, like a gift of prayer, that everybody is supposed to do and have faith, right? But some people have it as a spiritual gift. They're a real faith warrior. Some people, you know, everybody's supposed to pray. Some people have a real gift of prayer as prayer warriors. Well, everybody should have the gift of private tongues, a prayer language given to you when you receive your baptism in the Holy Spirit. But not everybody is going to exercise a gift of public tongues for the edification of the church and the assembly. Paul talks really clearly about this. Paul, and we'll look at that when we get into these other vocal gifts. Paul says, you know, I speak in tongues more than anybody else, but I'd rather speak something that you understand to teach you something, to benefit you, than a whole lot of words in tongues. So just remember, there's two kinds of things we're talking about. And you, yes, you, everybody point at yourself, you can have the spiritual gift of tongues. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is being able to talk to God in a way that only you and God can connect. That's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we want to have. Okay? Now, what I don't have on a slide up here, but I want to say is that there are some teachings out there that these gifts, many of these gifts, the gifts of healing, for example, the gift of tongues, that these don't exist in the church anymore, that they stopped after the Acts of the Apostles. There's not one verse of Scripture that says that God will make these gifts stop before the second coming of Christ. There is not one verse where God says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be removed from the church before the second coming of Christ. You won't be able to find it. But that is a major teaching, particularly in the Baptist circle. That's the Baptist teaching in that denomination. There are many non-denominationals that teach that. The Brook churches, for example, they will teach that. Elm, West, North, and then you add Brook, whatever it is, you know. And they do wonderful ministry. Don't misunderstand that. They do wonderful ministry. But what we're doing and what we do in the charismatic Episcopal Church is that we seek a balance. And we're seeking a balance of all of these things. And so we don't see a verse in Scripture where God takes these gifts away from the church. And so we believe they are in operation today. We believe they are given to the church and here for the church today. You know, and a lot of our evangelical friends don't accept this. Many of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters overemphasize this, and that's all they do. And you go into a church and all you hear is stuff that you can't understand. And you're kind of looking around, or at least I am going anyway, and I said, you know, this is all well and good. You guys are having a great time, but I don't have a clue what's going on. You know, God teach me something, because these people aren't sharing anything with me. You know. And I feel that I can pick on people because that's what I do. But anyway, you know, there's plenty about us to pick on, so don't misunderstand. But we're looking for all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in the church in that balance that we seek in the charismatic Episcopal Church, the balance of the liturgical, the balance of the evangelical, and the balance of the sacrament, the charismatic. So, different kinds of tongues. Tongues are made manifest to the church in Acts chapter 2 as they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're there and the Holy Spirit lights on them and they all start speaking and everybody hears them in their own language. Now, what's interesting about that is this is more of a manifestation of the private gifts of tongues as they're praying and not the gift of tongues for the edification of the church. And I say that because they're speaking and they're praying in these tongues and they're being heard in all of these different languages. Okay? Now what we're going to see is that the public gift of speaking in tongues is for the edification of the church where you will hear somebody speaking in a language that they don't understand, that someone will hear that and offer the interpretation, which is the next gift we'll talk. This is what God is saying. And then it blesses everybody. Okay? So we have these examples, and it's kind of all happening at the same time in Acts chapter 2 as the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples, that the tongues are made manifest and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're speaking in these languages that they've never studied, that they don't understand, and everybody's hearing them in whatever their language is. That's what happens in Acts chapter 2. Well, we should all exercise the gift of private tongues as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then we should seek the gifts of public tongues for the edification of the church. So again, go to God and ask for a deeper relationship with Him. And you might find yourself kind of mumbling or uttering words that you don't even understand. You don't even know what you're talking about, you know, as you get in this deeper relationship with God. And you can find that private prayer language, if you will. Those utterances and groans and things that Paul talks about in Romans as we, you know, go through the Holy Spirit with God. We can find that. And then we are to seek the gifts for the edification of the church. So again, two different kinds here. And now, as I said before, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Paul spoke in tongues more than anyone else, using his private tongues in prayer languages. Paul spoke to God in utterances and groans and in words that he himself didn't understand, but he had this relationship with God. And he didn't use public tongues for the assembly. That's not a gift that he really exercised. And he says that we're all, again, supposed to have that relationship of prayer with God. And he says, but I would rather speak a few words in a language everybody understands than speak thousands of words in tongues that nobody understands. It's a both and going here. Some places have made that so it's just all about that. And then we never really get the gift as for the edification of the church. So there are four different examples of tongues, and we're going to move pretty rapidly. And again, we're doing a survey here. But there are tongues of praise, where you're praising God. Tongues of intercession, where you're praying for something or someone else. Tongues of rebuke, where you're praying against demons and against the influences of Satan, and tongues of exhortation, where you're calling out, you're calling someone to ministry, calling someone to prayer, calling someone to faith, calling someone to repentance. And there are, you know, you can certainly add different things to that list, but those are perhaps the major different examples of tongues, and you'll find those in the book. So we've got this goofy, funny way to talk and to pray that we don't really understand. But yet we see it in the Bible and we know that God gave it to the church. And it might be uncomfortable. It might be something you've never experienced before. It might be something that you feel self-conscious about. But one of the things that we know that it is that it's there, that it's a gift from God, and that it's how God, you know, communicates with His people and how He brings it forth for us. And it's not something we need to be afraid of. And again, we've got the issue of the private tongues and the public tongues. So, you know, if you are even not even literally saying the words out loud, but you know that these things are coming to you, don't be afraid of that. Embrace it, whatever that might be. You know, kind of let it flow. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. You don't have to come in here and you know, start drowning me out as you're speaking in tongues. Don't do that. I'm the only one that gets to stand up here and yell at you guys. But it's not something to be afraid of. And it's something that a lot of churches and denominations have been afraid of for a long time because they don't understand it. Well, there's a lot of things in the Christian faith we don't understand. We don't understand the virgin birth. We don't understand the resurrection. You know, we don't understand how God could possibly love us when we look at us. Some of us aren't all that lovable, and yet. And the thing is, this is, as Paul describes it, and he has an order of spiritual gifts, the gift of tongues is a minor gift, and yet so many people shy away from it. And they'll believe in the resurrection. They believe in the empty tomb. Jesus conquered death. That people can be raised from the dead. But now that speaking in tongues, I don't know. Oh, come on. You know? It's like saying, yes, I believe that God, you know, can heal leukemia. God will heal diabetes. God will heal, you know, a heart murmur. But you know, I broke my finger. Man, this is going to be broken forever. I can't. This is never going to heal. God can't heal a finger. Are you kidding? It's illogical for a Christian who believes in the resurrection not to believe in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because these, as Paul says, are minor gifts. We believe in the big things. You can believe in the little things too. The next one we're going to talk about is the interpretation of tongues. And that's the ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language understood by the speaker, in a language that I can understand myself, the meaning of words previously spoken in an unknown language. So if I hear somebody and they're speaking in that language unknown, I can then speak to the church in a language that I understand and that the church understands to say, this is what was said. And we hear that once in a while. You hear someone speaking in tongues. You hear something you don't understand. And then someone says, God is telling you, this is what God's telling the church. You know, God loves you. This was a prophecy spoken in a tongue given to the church. God loves you. God is not mad at you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. We say that blessing. Long time ago, that was a tongue spoken and an interpretation given to the church. A fantastic blessing. A tongue of exhortation followed by interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. And again, a tongue of exhortation, you know, I call you to change your life, amend your life, repent from your sins. And that is equivalent to prophecy. You know how a lot of these things overlap, you know, like healings and miracles kind of overlap. You've got tongues overlapping, interpretation of tongues. You've got this thing bouncing around in your head. You don't even know what it means, you know. Let it go. Give it to God. If it's truly the way He wants to communicate with you, He's going to bless that. So while tongues is the ability to speak in a language that you don't understand yourself, the interpretation is to hear that and then to be able to share that with the church in a language that everybody understands. That's the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation is usually not a word-for-word translation, but it's a general rendering of what was being said. Oftentimes, someone will feel uneasy, compelled to speak, sometimes with just a single word or phrase. You know, it doesn't have to be a soliloquy. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. And you know what? If you're a kind of a blue-collar guy with not necessarily great grammar, guess how it's going to come out? God isn't going to change your personality. God's not going to turn you into Shakespeare for 2 minutes so that you can share something with the church. Please don't do that. I knew people like that in seminary. You know, you'd talk to them, you know, every day on the street and they were fine. And, you know, you get them into the chapel and all of a sudden everybody's got an English accent. Right here, oh my goodness, here we are in the chapel. Praise God in the chapel. But outside, where are you going? I'm going to chapel. Going to chapel. And they get into chapel. Praise God, I'm in the chapel. What is wrong with you people? God isn't going to change the personality of the individual. You know, God's going to let you use these gifts to connect with the people that you are supposed to connect with. All right? It's a good thing to be yourself. So you may not have a complete sentence or teaching, but you need to share what God reveals to you. And that interpretation of the tongue, it might come as a vision. It might come as a picture in your mind. It might actually come where you hear words. Remember Paul on the road? You might actually hear words that you think, did everybody else hear that? No, maybe you're the only one that heard it. God speaking to you. There are different ways to exercise the gift of interpretation. So we've got tongues speaking in these goofy languages. We've got the interpretation of those, that God just doesn't have those out there just to have them out there, but they are to teach us something. And then we have the gift of prophecy. And again, you'll see how a lot of these things overlap. But the gift of prophecy is the ability to speak words given by the Holy Spirit in a language understood by the speaker. Okay, again, notice that we're talking in language that people can understand. Prophecies given for the people, 1 Corinthians 14:3. Prophecies directed at believers. New Testament prophecy is directed at believers. Old Testament prophecy was different. Jonah, he'd go out somewhere. Jeremiah, for Samuel, they'd go out and they would tell people the words of God, trying to get them to listen, and these people didn't have a clue who God was. In New Testament prophecy, in Jesus and His new covenant, the prophet speaks to the Christian church. Now, those outside the Christian church certainly can learn and be affected by and be converted and convicted by the prophecy. But the prophet is speaking to the Christian church. And prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Right out of 1 Corinthians 14:3, exhortation, edification, and comfort. Exhortation should call us to action. Edification teaches us something. Comfort for peace and reconciliation, 1 Corinthians 5:19. Prophecy should be a blessing for us and not a condemnation of us, not a cursing of us, but a blessing for us. And it was even that in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Jonah went to Nineveh and he told them, you know, they needed to repent. He said, if you don't repent, God will not allow you to continue the way you're acting. And what did they do? They repented. Prophecy should call us to peace and reconciliation, be a blessing for us. And here's the thing. New Testament prophets are part of the body of Christ and in relationship with the body of Christ. Father Chris tells a story of somebody that walked through the door here, didn't know him at all and everything. He said, I have a word for your church. And Father Chris, his response was, no, you don't. Because he knew this. You know, Father Chris knows all of this stuff. He says, well, you don't have a word for our church. You don't know anything about our church. You don't know who we are. You don't know any of our people. You don't really have a word for our church. Come and join us. Come and be part of us. You're most welcome here. We'd love to have you here. We need all kinds of help doing things here. And again, the person, he can correct me if I get this wrong, but the general story is, well, I want to stand up and teach your people and preach. And he said, you know, that may happen in time and that'd be wonderful because, you know, if God is directing you to do that, that'd be great. Right now, we need somebody that can help us clean the bathrooms and vacuum. Person wasn't interested. A person exercising these gifts is going to be part of the body of Christ and in relationship with the body of Christ. So that street corner prophet that's out there, that's kind of like a Jonah, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. That may or may not be the word of God coming forth. But when you have someone exercising spiritual gifts within the body of Christ, you're going to know that. And then, of course, prophecy must be judged. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge or discern. Is this really from God? Eight of you cannot all of a sudden have the gift of prophecy and start laying things out for the whole church. Not scriptural. But the gift of prophecy can be exercised from time to time by different individuals, and then we as the church are to discern that. And we're supposed to ask these questions. There's a few of them. Does the prophecy build up or condemn? Does the prophecy agree with Scripture? What is the prophet's relationship with Christ? Do the prophet and the prophecy bear good fruit? Were the prophet's predictions true? Some scripture references for these. Does the prophecy promote obedience to God? Does the prophecy bring freedom and peace? If all a prophecy does is condemn and not offer any type of peace and reconciliation with God, then it's not a true prophecy of God. Jonah didn't go there just to tell everybody you're going to die and you're done. Jonah went and said, repent and return to the Lord. Gave them the blessing of comfort and peace if they were to follow God's word. And they did. And then does the prophecy harmonize and bring life? Because Jesus is all about life, right? Came that they might have life and might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. Is there a sense of warning in the prophecy? Again, you know, Jonah's one of my favorites. I'll keep going back to him. But these are the exercise of the gifts of prophecy. So that brings us to this. A prophecy spoken over this church by the Most Reverend Archbishop Randolph Adler, the first patriarch and founder of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. I have a sticky note, surprisingly, in my Bible, because I thought this was just the coolest thing when I heard it. But Archbishop Randolph Adler, remember those three guys that got together and each prayed for, you know, a church in 10 years, and 10 years later there were 1,100 CEC churches? He was the one of the first three. And he gave a word to this church that is so important for us today. And it's important for us because if you look around, we have room to grow. We've got work to do. He told us, and I wasn't there at the time, wasn't around then, but I'm going to claim it for all of us. He said that we are not to despair, that God has a plan for Bread of Life Church. And he quoted Zechariah 9 and verse 12. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. He looked at Bread of Life Church and he said, every blessing that you've had in this place before, God is going to render unto you double. Double. We may think that we're small, insignificant. Nobody wants to come here. I know it goes through your mind, you know. We all like it when there's a lot of people around. But we have been told through the gift of prophecy that God is going to render to this little church double. And we know that that has yet to happen. But we know that we've been told that. And we've been told that by the guy who started this now 35 country worldwide denomination with two other people. And he looked at Bread of Life Church and said, God will render unto you double. And we can claim that and cling to it. But that doesn't mean we sit around and wait for it to happen. That means that we go out faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will happen. It's going to happen. Imagine one day, you know, that Pastor Luke Lammers is standing up here with his assistant, Brock Nowicki. Imagine that. And they're standing here in a full church. And I'm probably over there on the bottom left in a jar. Okay? But you know what? Praise God, because this prophecy is going to happen in this place, in this church. And I believe that, and we are going to claim that as a word of God directly to Bread of Life. So what are we supposed to do? We are to earnestly desire the best gifts. And what's the best gift? The best gift is the gift that the church needs at the time. When we need prophecy, we should be desiring prophecy. And when we need miracles of healings, we should be desiring miracles of healings. So we need to be open to receiving, and we need to desire all of these spiritual gifts. Because when we ask, we shall receive. And how do we ask? We ask by praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples received, because those guys were stuck. Jesus, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and they were stuck. And they're sitting in Jerusalem, they're sitting in the upper room, and it's not until they received the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon them that they were able to go forth and change the world. And God isn't asking us to change the world. He's only asking us to change Dousman. Jeez, that should be pretty easy, huh? You know? Think about that. What assignment is God giving you? Now, Jim, you've got Southeast Asia. You know, Linda, I want you to go over and change Europe. Dick and Ellen, Dousman. Wow. God thinks Dousman is important enough for us to be here and to live under the prophecy that He will render unto us double. So we can do no less but to honor that and to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, I ask Your blessing on us today as we contemplate these things. Help us to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be open to them. Help us not to fear them, but to embrace them. Lord, as we go forth from this place, give us the strength and courage to proclaim the gospel, to be the light of Christ in this community and beyond. Father, we thank You for the time that we've been able to spend with You in studying these gifts. Let this be just the beginning of the wonderful ways that You will bless this congregation as we earnestly seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.